Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You are listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. And our phone number here at the station is area code 760-337-8874. And don't forget to also access this show through our podcast at www.kxoradio.com. And today we have a special guest. And very dear to me, she has done so much to me. So it's we have Rosy Nava Bermudez. She is the founder and director and manager and
teacher
and
friend
and mother and I just co-worker and of the Family Treehouse.
Yes, good morning, Imperial Valley.
And like I said, is that, you know, before pre-Haley, my daughter, you know, I knew about the treehouse, but was not, you know, too familiarized. And but it's been such a great service for me and for my mom since she takes care of Haley when I'm here at work. And for so many other mothers and parents and dads and the kids and the children.
Yeah, we have a lot of dads now.
Yes.
You know, when we first started the treehouse, you know.
And it feels so good to see them there. I like it. I enjoy seeing the dads and playing with the kids and, you know, taking care, looking out. That's great.
Yeah, I love my job. I love getting up every morning, looking forward to going back to work every day. So,
well, let's tell us for our listeners who don't have or are maybe expectant parents or have little kids or are new to the valley or just, you know, just people in the community. Tell us about the Family Treehouse because a lot of people sometimes are not aware about the Family Treehouse.
Yeah, we don't have a whole lot of money for advertising, so it's one of those things where
this is free advertisement right now, right here.
Well, a lot of how we've grown is through word of mouth, like, mm-hmm. you know, say, for example, you as a mom and telling other moms and friends and family and abuelitas, you know, telling other abuelitas and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But, you know, about 10 years ago, I started out the treehouse as this stay-at-home mom support kind of center, so that parents, grandparents who stayed at home with their children could actually access something other than television at their home. And our center is, we put it strategically in the center of the valley so that it would be equidistant from, say, Winter Haven and Nyland or Salton City or
Calexico.
So we're kind of smack in the middle of the county and would love to have several of these throughout the county, but we're fortunate to right now keep a hold of just one in this mm-hmm. economic climate that we have. So the Family Treehouse started out as this social support network and where families could come and bring their children. And it was really hard to describe to the community because they had this sense of whether it was a daycare or perhaps maybe a Chuck E. Cheese kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to go out and have a birthday party versus I'm going to drop my kids off. And you kind of have to erase all of that from your mind and think about and almost imagine yourself in that situation where you're at home, maybe doing laundry or, you know, housework, cleaning, cooking, whatever. And your child, your small child, you know, under the age of 6, who's not yet in school, mm-hmm. is sitting in front of a television or taking pots and pans out of your cupboards or taking laundry out of the washing machine or climbing into the dryer. Mm-hmm. All those different daily kinds of activities that you expect to see.
Especially when they're an only child.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and they, I don't want to say they lack, they just don't have that opportunity to interact with other children their age, siblings. I know that my children are 9 years apart, mm-hmm. so I essentially have two only children. And so for my children, obviously for my first child, it would have been really beneficial to have her in a center like the Family Treehouse. And for my second child, he's actually been there since he was 4 days old, actually.
Wow.
And so I hired a nanny to come in, and gratefully I've had support from my mother-in-law and other people in my life who've actually come to the treehouse and taken care of my son there. He's now 8, and the fruits of my labor have been really, it's been really a treat to see how he did well in school and how he was able to interact with other children. Had he stayed at home those 5 years before kinder, he might have not had the skills to be able to function in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And
yes,
so the family treehouse, we do a lot of social support still, but it's kind of evolved over 10 years into looking at children and how they develop and how we can at the family treehouse. My staff, the staff we have at the treehouse, as you know, is just high quality staff.
They're great.
We haven't had...
We have to say hi to them.
Yes.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, Susie.
That's
hi, Laura.
Right. Hi, Carmen.
Hi, Carmen.
And so the high quality staff we have really... is a testament to how dedicated and devoted they are to improving the lives of children all over the Imperial Valley. And
yeah.
I can't do that without them. So they should be sitting right here next to me. But they're off doing their jobs, getting ready for class at 8:30.
Yes, that's true. It starts at 8 o'clock. The Family Treehouse opens at 8 o'clock.
Right? 8 o'clock.
You know, there's so many benefits and so many. I'm so grateful for all the services the Family Treehouse has provided. You know, I'm getting even my mom who takes my daughter, she's getting some anxiety, separation anxiety. She's about to start kindergarten. And so what am I going to do now?
Well, you know, we have a lot of kindergartners that do come back. I know our hours right now, 8 to 1, are not real conducive to kindergarten. Usually children go nowadays a whole full day. 8 to 2, and some go from 8:30 to 11:30. But we're going to try and transition those children and have our family disco nights mm-hmm. and our family days on Saturdays where they can actually come back and visit and transition and make it a little bit warmer transition rather than cut them off completely. And we recognize that it's really important for children to play and adults to play as well. But we think we've done our job when the children can go off to kindergarten and have a delightful experience mm-hmm. and still recognize us when we're on the street. Hi,
yes.
Teacher Susie.
Yes.
Hi, Teacher Jackie.
Yes.
Hi, Teacher Rosie. And we're part of their lives. And so we're very fortunate and we feel privileged to be part of their lives when they've gone on to school.
So what is the process? How do parents, for our listeners, that want to, they're interested in the Family Treehouse, what is the process? What can they just show up or... Where can the parents start at?
Well, right now what we're doing is so that we can dedicate time to our new families coming in. We close at 1, and at 1 o'clock we do orientations for new families coming in. There's no obligation. There's no fees. You can come, bring your socks. We require socks. Shoes are not allowed in the treehouse. We want to keep everything nice and clean for our crawling babies. At 1 o'clock you can come by, and we'll do you know, 1 to 2 hour kind of visit with you, show you around the facility, give you a sense of what it's like and the rules and regulations. And after that, if you'd like to register, you just bring your paperwork back that we've given you during orientation, and we register you. It's really easy. Everyone in Imperial Valley who lives in Imperial Valley who has a child under the age of 6 qualifies for our program. There's no income eligibility. Everybody kind of pays the one fee kind of thing. Everybody either pays a $10 a day fee or a $50 unlimited access fee. But that gets you in, and we don't ask for any more for activities. No, this week we're doing lemonade, and
yes.
We've bought lemons and jicama and pepino, cucumber, and we are squeezing lemons on food. We're making lemonade, and those kinds of costs are included in your fee, so we don't ask you for more than what we've already asked you for.
There's so many activities. It's so many that you know, I'm a parent, and Haley, you know, just loves the treehouse, and she's done so many. It's too many to count. I mean, from making tortillas, making food, making the mashed potatoes, talking about potatoes, growing little plants. It's awesome.
She enjoyed our watercolor painting a couple weeks ago, and you know, kids are going to go home from the treehouse, you know, not stained, but they'll be a little bit dirtier than when they came, because we do it all. We do hands-on activities. They'll also come home very tired.
Mm-hmm.
And so parents really enjoy being able to take them home and they nap. And then that gives mom or dad or grandma some time to get their housework done and things like that.
And I used to. I mean, the hours changed.
They
and
did.
Before, they were just, you know, from 10. And sometimes we were there from 10 to 5.
Absolutely, 5:30 sometimes. Haley never wants to leave. And our children don't want to leave the treehouse. They go crying, which is music to my ears. For some parents, it's a little embarrassing. But when children go out kicking and screaming, I'm like, oh, they'll be back.
Oh, yes. Yes, and she has been back.
Yes, every day we love our Haley, and we love the 250 children that we serve right now, and all the parents. Very delightful families. We're very privileged at the Treehouse to meet and greet a lot of families, new families who've never been to Imperial Valley and don't know what to expect from our culture.
That's true, and it's a great way for parents to kind of know about other services and to connect with other parents.
That's right.
And for example, my mom, she goes and takes care of my daughter, but she doesn't live in Imperial. She doesn't live in Imperial just during the week. But she's built a lot of relationships and friendships with the other moms and other grandmas.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, that separation anxiety, like, oh my God, I'm not going to see them again. She goes, well, maybe I'll just stop by and I'll help out and volunteer and just talk to the other moms.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, the play groups are one of the results or the outcomes out of the family treehouse, is that these families, when they are there at the family treehouse, they actually socialize. Mm-hmm. But outside of the family treehouse, they also socialize, which is, like you said, they're creating these family connections, these friend connections, and really this social support group that would have otherwise probably not been brought to fruition.
Mm-hmm. So they're also there at my house, too. After the treehouse, they go to my house, too.
That's right. And a lot of parents do that. They have play groups, and they rotate through the different moms, dads, grandparents. And we also have nannies as well. You know, if you have a comadre that takes care of your baby, or if you are one that takes care of your friend's triplets, for example. We have a set of triplets right now, and it takes a village to raise them. And they the parents have a great support network, and they rotate their sitters or their caregivers, and it's just out of friendship that they do this. And so if you're out there and you've taken care of a child under the age of 6, the family treehouse is for you. They can come there till the first day of first grade. We want to transition them into the public school, so we don't let them go completely at kinder, and we try to stay open as much as we can throughout the year, staying open the whole summer for children.
We're talking to Rosie Nava Bermudez. She is the director, founder, teacher, mom, friend, co-worker of the Family Treehouse.
That's a mouthful.
So what other services do you provide besides, you mentioned that, you know, the Family Treehouse is not really, it's not a daycare, and it's not, you know, a Chuck E. Cheese. So when families go in there and they sign up, what other services besides the open gym?
Yeah, other than the 8,000 square foot facility that we offer for play and interaction what we call therapeutic activities, we offer the families, when they register, free screening, free inspections on their car seats, other kinds of resource navigation. So, you know, like, for example, a lot of people don't realize there's an ice cream social today on Main Street.
It's true.
So,
yes.
You know, that's a family activity that we look forward to sharing with our families. We try to be connected with other cities in the Imperial Valley because it's such a huge county geographically that sometimes we're so disconnected and isolated from one another. So we do some resource navigation. We also provide some program during the month that's open to the public as well. And we're online at myfamilytreehouse.com and also on Facebook. And so it's really important for people to understand that our facility is there in Imperial, but we do a lot more in the community. Sometimes we take our train out to the community and run that. But the free screenings and the free car seat inspections are extremely important. Every parent or every caregiver really wants to know how well their child's doing, or if there are concerns, those concerns need to be validated.
So what do you mean, like a screening?
It's a 30-point question exam, if you will, or evaluation that's open to anyone in the county. They can come to the treehouse, whether they're registered at the treehouse or not, and they can come. And thankfully, it was through a grant. The Imperial County Children and Families First Commission really is the agency and founder of the Family Treehouse in terms of their funding. without them, then we wouldn't be able to survive.
They're great.
Yeah.
They are really good.
They have touched the lives of hundreds and thousands
and
of children.
And they offer so many services and parents aren't even aware.
That's right. And so we collaborate with them and, you know, in terms of kinder readiness and other, you know, asthma and a lot of the different...
My daughter participated at the kinder class in Meadows.
Oh, okay.
So
great.
She was there for about a month and, you know... It was,
oh, good work.
Yeah.
Good work. And so we try to maintain, with the other funded projects through the Imperial County Children and Families First, the services and coordinate services with them. So when it comes to the screening, they're the ones that really fund that. But along with the screenings, once a child comes in, say, for example, a mom is concerned, my baby's not talking. He's mm-hmm. three. He's got a couple of words. He really should be saying some full sentences or at least 2 to 3 word phrases. Then they could come to us. There are other agencies in the Valley, I have to add, that actually service as well, like through the Imperial County Children, the Imperial County Office of Education, mm-hmm. through their infant and toddler programs, and SELPA, they do some programs. And then also San Diego Regional mm-hmm. Center, which is...
But
Imperial.
You can refer them.
Well, we absolutely
you,
do refer
you do
them.
The screening, and then if there is maybe some things, you know, you refer them.
Absolutely, but we try to be that mm-hmm. first point of contact, and of course it's free. I take walk-ins, you know. Sometimes it means it's a matter of it's making the difference between a mom sleeping at night and not sleeping at night, worrying about her child. And
especially those first-time parents.
Absolutely. Yeah, oh yeah.
I don't know if is that normal? Is that the way it's supposed to be? You know, what time, you know, what age are they supposed to walk? At what age are they supposed to do their first words, you know?
Absolutely.
There's so many things.
Yeah, at about 9 or 10 months, a baby should start verbalizing at least one word, whether it's ball, other than mama or dada, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's awa or aya or that. Mm-hmm. I had a little boy whose mom said he wasn't talking, and all he said was mo. We figured out that mo meant mita, and it doesn't even sound like it except for the M, but he would say mo. And so, yeah, he had his one word by, you know, 9, 10 months, but mom wasn't really interpreting it. So when we do our screenings, we really are trying to adjust the parental expectations with the child's abilities and kind of lower that stress, mm-hmm. you know. And then also, if the expectations are too low, we want to raise those expectations. Mm-hmm. So if a parent isn't expecting their 3-year-old to speak, then it might be something where the parent needs to really start expecting that child to verbalize more and start to motivate them and inspire them more to speak.
So. Do you also do, for those parents, you know, first-time parents, or maybe parents who have had, you know, this is their second or third child, or and their kids are playing around and maybe their child is misbehaving, do you direct also the parents on how to discipline them? Or
we try. Mm-hmm. We really try to do that. You know, it's really a fine line between interfering and intruding and guiding. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a fine line between those three, because sometimes a parent might feel offended. We need to be sensitive mm-hmm. to that. And it is very difficult for us as a staff. But I have to say, the staff at the Treehouse really, I think, does a really good job of guiding parents, grandparents, and babysitters and caregivers in a way that is subtle, but that we always explain, follow up with, you know, maybe your child shouldn't have a pacifier at age 2 because it's going to interfere with their language, their dental hygiene. And we kind of explain to them the reason why we're kind of intruding, because it is always an intrusion, I think. And culturally, we're all very different, one family from another.
But it's for the benefit of the child.
We are hoping. Mm-hmm. We are hoping that the parents see it that way. It's not always something that is seen, but for the most part, you know, 99% of the time, the parents are very grateful, because that's why they're at the Treehouse. They want that guidance. They don't have experience. Babies don't come with a manual. And we're kind of hoping...
No, they don't. That's one that they do, but they don't.
You know, for example, and I'll bring up a current event that happened this morning in Los Angeles. A little boy was found at 4 o'clock in the morning wandering the streets in a diaper and a T-shirt. He's 3. And when there was a man, fortunately, who spotted him and reported him, and the police came and got him. And I could tell immediately just from the minimal coverage they got of the child that the child is probably not a typical 3-year-old. Mm-hmm. He if he's not saying more than a couple words at 3, he's probably, and escaping from the house, there's probably something else going on. And, you know, and I'm hoping and I'm sure that the social services will do an evaluation on that child, mm-hmm. a developmental screening, if you will, and see and investigate exactly where that child is in their development, because chances are there's probably some risk of autism, there's some risk of other developmental delays where this child's escaping, he's not speaking more than three words to the officer, mm-hmm. And we're able to see, okay, well, you know, it's not the mom's fault. Because a lot of times as parents we think it's our fault. It's our fault yeah. our child's not performing.
You know what? And you do. I do. Even I feel like that. When I see other kids doing much more and I go, it's me. You know. But, you know, it's just sometimes I've been like that since Haley was little. You know, Haley wasn't one of those little chunky babies that you, the Gerber babies that,
right.
you know, that they see and you just love those, you know, huge legs and everything. And
she was always squeeze the cheeks.
Yeah. Exactly. You just want to squeeze them. But, you know, I was always concerned. I didn't know any better. I would always ask the pediatrician, is she okay? Is she under, I thought she was underweight. He goes, she's fine. She never gets sick. She's fine.
Absolutely. And babies, like dogs and humans, actually become in all different sizes
exactly.
and packages.
I don't know.
Yeah, and, you know, you brought up a point about going to the pediatrician. Well, I mean, how long is your pediatrician visit?
Actually, the last time, it was pretty long. She was asking questions, and I was pretty amazed. I was like, wow. But it was a good doctor, so
yeah.
I'll recommend it.
we'll get back to that.
But sometimes it's fast. Sometimes it's fast. They go in, they check, and that's it.
Yeah, and I think that's the most common experience. Fortunately, we're starting to see more pediatricians in Imperial Valley who are actually spending the time. But with a busy practice, it's very difficult. You can see 40 to 50 kids a day, especially when there's a flu bug going around.
Yes.
And so it's difficult to spend that time. So at the Family Treehouse, we're hoping that we help out those pediatricians in Imperial Valley and get a little bit more information from the parent and then send that information back to the pediatrician with the parent so that they can get a better gauge of what's going on in that child's development. So we're out here to help more than just the child and the family. We're here to help other people.
The community.
Like, yeah, exactly.
And teachers, too.
Teachers,
so not
absolutely.
Forget the teachers, too.
Absolutely.
Because that the treehouse, you know, you have class and you teach about numbers and letters and so many other subjects. So that's the beginning for them to go into kindergarten, go into first grade. So you give them a basis, a good basis starting point for kids.
That's right.
So actually you're doing a lot of good.
We're trying to help everyone in the community get these kids when they get to kindergarten. They look and they talk and they act and they play just like all the other kids, because that's very stressful on parents when their kids don't fit in. It's very stressful on the child, and it'll catch up with them. So we're out there trying to really help them, and also the pediatric community, the medical community, the educational sector, so that we're all in concert mm-hmm. with one another like a nice orchestra, and no one's out of tune, mm-hmm. and everyone has a nice song to hear at the end.
That's a good way of putting it. But yes, it's been so much helpful, and you can see that difference of kids that have not socialized with other kids and have not gone to this like class time or anything. You just see them and they're so behind.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, they have a lot to catch up
they
on.
They have a lot to catch up. And there's been studies that kids don't go to kindergarten. They just go straight to first grade without any type of socialization. They're so behind
yeah.
on the other kids.
Yeah, studies do have some evidence that shows that, yeah.
I know. So today we're talking to Rosie Navabermudez. She is the founder of the Family Treehouse. We're almost top to the hour, so we'll be taking a break, and we'll be right back. Don't forget, our phone number here at the station is 337-8874.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services, each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUPO 88.7 FM Radio Bilingue.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio for Imperial and Mexicali Valley. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. Our phone number here at the station is area code 760-337-8874. And if you missed the first half of our show, you can always access it on our podcast at kxoradio.com. We're back. We're talking to Rosie Navarro-Mudez. She's the founder of the Family Treehouse and teacher and mom and co-worker and director and everything. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good morning, Imperial Valley.
We've been talking about the Family Treehouse and all the services that they offer to the parents and the kids and to the community. At the last first time, we were talking about how it helps the community, the pediatricians and teachers, because you give them a founding blocks for kids. You know, you have a little class time and you teach them about so many things, and there's music involved and there's game involved in the class time, and you know, just it's so. And parents are there, and they're always there, and that's one thing that when people ask, well, what is a treehouse? Is that a daycare? And I go, no. It's not a daycare. You know, you don't leave your kids there. You are there also, and you interact with your kids, and you play with your kids, and you also socialize. You also socialize with other parents, and your kids socialize and play with other kids, but you have to be there.
Yeah.
You just don't just leave them there and, you know.
Yeah, one of the things we know from research is that children do really well when their parents are active in their lives, whether it's eating dinner at the table every day, whether it's holding your baby from a very early age, rather than putting them in a car seat all the time 24/7 and, you know, in a stroller. And some babies, unfortunately, go from the crib to a playpen to a car seat to a bouncer to a stroller to back to a car seat to a shopping cart. And in that connection that is required for positive development is so essential to how a child is going to behave, how a child is going to learn, how a child is going to socialize with other people in the world. Mm-hmm. And it's part of their forming their identity. And so those connections that start very early really are predictive of future potential and positive growth. So at the treehouse, at the Family Treehouse, we really want to promote that connection that the child has with that parent. And for some parents, it comes naturally. And I have to say, for many families and many parents, it doesn't. For whatever reason, whether it's cultural, whether it's just maybe somebody came from a parent who was not as responsive as they should have been, or they were working all the time, or they were neglectful. So there's all these different what we call risk factors that puts children at risk for various developmental delays, various negative behaviors. And what we try to do is try to foster an environment where there's protective factors. And one of those protective factors is that connection between parent and child. And sometimes we have to learn it. It doesn't come to us naturally. As you know, many moms will tell you, you give birth to this infant and the societal expectation is that we fall immediately in love with this infant who sometimes feels like an alien has just escaped our body. And they
very
don't,
true.
They don't talk. They don't tell you, Mommy, I need a little bit more eye contact today. They don't tell you, Mommy, you think we can play hide and seek today? And that happens, you know, hopefully when they're about 3 or 4. But when they are born,
babies, yes.
The instruction packet is not tightly woven into their diaper.
Mm-mm. No.
and it doesn't come in the umbilical cord, you know, or anything like that. And sometimes breastfeeding is just an experience that is so frustrating, mm-hmm. for moms that, you know, that's another thing we've really tried to promote is breastfeeding in the Valley. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, we have agencies in Imperial County, the Breastfeeding Coalition, who has done a lot of good work in the community. When we first started the treehouse, we hosted a breastfeeding support group. Mm-hmm. We no longer do that. The actual support group has branched off and grown and done wonderful things here in Imperial County. So getting off on a tangent and going back to what we originally...
That's good information.
What we originally talking about is that the Family Treehouse requires parental interaction. Yes. And hopefully at the end of the day, daddies, mommies, grandma, grandpas, you know, aunts and uncles, they have a better idea of what it takes to get down on the ground and play with children we don't have couches at the family tree house, so parents have to be active with them. A lot of our equipment can be used, like our jungle gym.
The jungle gym.
You can actually get up there. It's like a 300.
I've gone up there.
Yeah.
And gone down the slide. It's fun.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we want children to be using us as a role model, but how often do we actually implement that and start to model those behaviors, you know?
And you see that with, like, my daughter. She loved, you know, she would get on the jungle gym. At first, she was afraid, I remember.
Yep.
You know, I mean, she would not go, but now she goes by herself. Or on the little the
roller
gliders.
Yeah, the roller racers.
The roller racers. Those are fun. But now she's moved out, and now she likes to be in the big playhouse.
That's right.
She loves her, you know, she always liked her babies and everything, but she loves to play, even at the house, you know. She sets, takes out all her dishes, it's all over the dining room table, and she puts placemats, which was just a piece of paper, those are placemats, and she puts all her food and all her dishes, and she plays restaurant, and, you know, would you like to eat, you know, do you want ice cream? But then she carries that also at the treehouse when I'm there.
That's,
you know,
right.
She likes to pretend that she's cooking. And you have a really nice, they have a really nice, huge indoor playhouse where, I mean, I am small, I'm short, but, you know, even you can stand up there and play and
yeah, the jungle gym was actually put together by a man who was about 6'3" tall, and he was up there putting that thing together, and I said, oh, so, you know, it looks like, you know, a very large person can actually fit in there. And absolutely, we really, really designed the family tree also so that parents could actually...
And you see parents very often going up the jungle gym, going down, because especially when the kids are little, you know, they're afraid, just like Haley was afraid to go by herself at first.
And sometimes they get stuck up there, so you got to go get them back.
Yeah, and you get them up there. Or sometimes they don't want to leave,
and
then they stay up there.
That was yesterday.
Yeah.
We had to retrieve a couple kids yesterday, so I had to go up there 3 or 4 times, and... They're kicking and screaming. They'll hide up there because mommy's like, I'm going. And mom will actually get out to the car and fake them out, and they still won't.
They won't.
They won't leave. So, yeah, and so at the family trust, you have to be there with your child. And you know, and if you need, we have a place where you can have snack, food. You can bring your own food. We have a refrigerator, stove, microwave, so you can prepare your food there if you'd like. And you can sit there and have a meal with your child. Mealtime is very important for children. From the time that they're born all the way up until they're grown, that's why I think, you know, as a family, in our culture, especially the Mexican culture, a lot of conversation and good times are had around food.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Healthy food.
Yeah. Healthy.
You know, you can have sometimes food sometimes, but at the treehouse, you know, we really want parents in Imperial Valley to look upon us as that resource. Definitely,
yes.
But also a place where, you know, it's a page in their scrapbook. Mm-hmm. We're hoping that everyone
I
in the valley
has.
I
have tons of stuff that she's done, my daughter's done at the treehouse.
Yeah, refrigerator pictures. You know, family photos. We're hoping that we're part of that child's life, and that is, in the end, I think, what the Family Tree House staff and our founders, our board of directors, which we have a great board of directors, really want, at the end of the day, to have.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be part of the life of a child here in Imperial Valley, just like that one teacher you had in second grade. Oh, Mrs. So and So. And you see her at the grocery store, and good memories, you know.
Yes.
We want fond memories and to know that we've made a difference. And so,
talking about teachers, when you have, during the course of when parents are going to the treehouse, and do you notice if there's maybe something going on, you know, developmentally with a child, maybe the parent has not noticed it. Do you approach them, or maybe behavior-wise? Do you approach the parent or try and get them any type of assistance or other resources?
Absolutely. We have two kinds of...
In other words, prevention, early,
absolutely.
Early detection.
Absolutely. There's two types of situations that are common at the Family Tree House and also just in society in general. There's a child who might be perceived as misbehaving, mm-hmm. Which is really considered in terms of developmental specialist perception. Mm-hmm. It would be... normal. So you have a child who might be perceived as misbehaving, and so parent intervenes and says, no, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
you say you're sorry. At age 1.5, that's kind of an unrealistic expectation. So they might intervene, and so we'd have to intervene and maybe kind of bring down that stress and that expectation of that parent who has an unrealistic expectation. Say, you know, that's really normal. A child who's 27 months might be chucking CDs or balls throughout the house, blocks, mm-hmm. and that might be perceived as a misbehavior when it's quite normal for a child to just empty drawers mm-hmm. and cupboards and stuff at that age. And then the second situation we have, which is really common, is that a child is misbehaving, truly misbehaving, and the parent's expectation is kind of very low and not intervening appropriately.
Like somebody, a little boy hits or a girl
bites.
And
say maybe a 3.5-year-old, 4-year-old might bite another child, and the parent is not. I don't want to say reacting, because we don't want to always be reacting, but we doesn't respond appropriately. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we have to intervene at that point. By the way, if a child's biting at 3.5, it's really not a typical behavior, and those kinds of behaviors should have already been
That's probably
phased through.
Why do they bite? Question like that. Is it they're frustrated? They don't know how to deal with the emotions that they have?
Absolutely, but we need to go back to biting, and it usually starts pretty early, mm-hmm. especially if a mom is breastfeeding. She could have a bite to the breast, or because the baby's teething, so it could start very early, or you could hold the baby, and on your shoulder you'll get a little bite from your baby mm-hmm. because they're teething, and that's usually, you know, normal 5 to 9 months when that starts. At a year, even all the way up to 2 years, could be a sign of, I'm not able to speak, so I have to bite in reaction to, mm-hmm. say, some stimulus. Say another child might hit them, and they might bite back, things like that, which is instrumental aggression, not so much hostile aggression. And so when you have a baby who bites, and I say baby, an infant, mm-hmm. or toddler who bites, you really have to look at their age. You have to look at the situation, the context of the situation, and then assess appropriately, and then not make a big deal about it. The more you make a big deal about it, and some parents actually bite back, which is a big no-no. Parents, if you want the biting to stop,
don't bite, please.
Yeah, don't bite. It's not they're not sensitive to what we call empathy at that point, where they're gonna know what you're feeling with you, or they're not gonna get that sense of retaliation. So don't bite, but if a child's 3 and doesn't stop that biting, you really have to take a look at mm-hmm. what's going on. Incidentally, children do act out when their language skills are not at a point where they can verbalize their feelings.
So it's a frustration?
It could be a frustration. It could be, you know, you took my toy and I can't tell you I mm-hmm. want it back, so I'm going to bite you. And sometimes it's just parents, unfortunately, a parent who bites and hits and spanks and pulls ears, unfortunately, is probably going to promote that behavior in a child. So a lot of times the parent has bitten the child as a sign of discipline, out of disciplinary action, and so the child will bite. So a child who's 3 and 4 who's biting, that's not a normal behavior.
They learned. I mean, they're... Like you said, children are like sponges. You know, they will learn what they see. That's a learned behavior.
Absolutely. At that point, it's not necessarily learned if the child's under the age of mm-hmm. 2. There's lots of good resources on the internet. If your child's a biter and it's come out of nowhere, there's lots of good resources online. You can Google. Hundreds mm-hmm. will come up. But in terms of aggression, and we really need to define what's aggression versus hostility, which I'm sure mm-hmm. is for another show for mental health specialists out there listening. There is a distinct difference between aggression and hostile mm-hmm. Behavior. But in terms of development, there's typical behaviors and there's atypical behaviors. So if a child is misbehaving, truly misbehaving, and that parent needs guidance on that, we can help them. But usually we start out by asking them, what do they do when that mm-hmm. occurs? Because sometimes it's just a matter of consistency. The parent's not being consistent. And so the first time you let a child misbehave, truly misbehave, and you don't do anything about it, you ignore it, it's probably not going to happen again. And if it does, then you really need to check your reaction. What's going on? And if there is a consequence to that behavior that you really want to promote in that disciplinary plan that you have, then you really need to do it consistently with communication.
That's the word, consistently. You have to do it consistently.
Absolutely. The first time you let them stay up till 11 o'clock at night, guess what? The next night they're going to want to stay up at 11 o'clock at night. Or the first time you give them candy.
First time that, you know, if she sent that to me once, and it was at, you know, at a store, toy. And she wanted it. And she was, you know, crying and everything. And I said, that's okay, Haley. That's okay. It's okay that you can cry.
Absolutely.
Cry. I know you're sad. I know you want that toy. And I know you're sad. But you're not getting it.
Absolutely.
And you're just like,
and validating.
And people were just like looking at me just.
And how did you feel? How did you feel when those people were looking at you?
I felt the way I felt when I didn't have a child. Like, oh, my God, that kid is crying, you know, just
were you embarrassed?
You know what? I was like, ni modo.
Ni modo, that's a great reaction.
Oh,
because
well.
You see those shopping carts at the grocery store that are full, mm-hmm. and they're just kind of sitting in the middle of the aisle. Usually that's a parent who's taken their 2 or 3 year old out of the store because they wanted a toy. And we tell parents, you know, don't be embarrassed. I've been many a times in the middle of a restaurant floor having a meltdown with my child. And honestly, we try to get through it. And if it's really disruptive, we'll take the child out and we take a time out. And not a time out where I'm telling him, you're a bad boy, you're in time out. It's just let's cool off, let's distract, let's calm down. And usually you're going to find it's a child who cannot communicate their frustration, their sadness, their disappointment. How many times as adults, you know, we've been disappointed? And if we're able to verbalize that, write it down. But children aren't that sophisticated. They're going to say, Mommy, I'm grieving the loss of that Barbie doll. Mommy, I really was hoping you'd buy that Barbie doll for me. They can't rationalize that way. They're going to throw a fit.
Yeah.
And then it's up to you. It's up to you as a parent to validate those emotions for that child and then calmly say, it's okay. Let's get through it. And incidentally, if a child is going 15 minutes through a tantrum, that's a normal time.
Okay.
If it's a half hour, then it's not so normal.
Okay.
And chances are it's because you've reacted inconsistently and they're going to take you to the next level.
Exactly. They'll see, you know, as soon as she'll get tired of me, you know, hearing me cry.
Exactly.
I'll get my way.
Exactly. And that, they're thinking and cognitively they're processing that usually after the age of 3. Under the age of 3, you know, usually 3 is that magic number. Mm-hmm. And developmentally 3. Because you can have some children that are 4 and developmentally 2, but for a developmentally normal child who's 3, they can start to process those emotions, but only when you have start to put a label on those emotions. If you recognize your child's hungry, you say, oh, are you hungry? You know, mijo, do you need something to eat? And then they put together that emotion of hunger with food. But if, say, for example, if they're really angry and you've penalized them for being angry, they're not going to know to tell you, Mommy, I'm really angry with you. And it's okay for babies and, you know, to be angry, or infants and toddlers to be angry. But oftentimes parents will
react.
They'll react in a negative way. And then those children take that on through their whole life. And one day they're super angry and they don't know why. And they don't know who to talk to because they never were taught to talk to anybody. And so in terms of mental health, which, you know, this show is all about mental health and behavioral health, and Pearl County Behavioral Health knows a lot more about this, I'm sure, than I do. But it's really important to label emotions from a very early age, just like you've taught them that their colors, that's red, blue, green, yellow.
Yeah.
You know, you can say, I'm sad, I'm surprised, I'm angry, I'm hungry, I'm scared. And there's over 60 different emotions, but honestly, we only gravitate between happy and sad. And in between, there's so much. And, you know, joy, when you have a baby, you could be very joyful.
Yeah.
But you can also be quite sad as well, which, you know, with the family trials, we try to address. Mm-hmm. So we serve families that have babies 0 all the way up until the first day of first grade.
That's, you know, Haley, you know, hearing you talk, and my daughter, she does. She will tell you, you know, I'm sad. You know, and I go, and you know what, I'm, you know, that's okay. You know, just because she didn't get her way, regardless if she wanted ice cream or she wanted to stay until longer in the pool. Now she learned how to swim. You know, she'll tell me, you know, I'm sad. And with a little voice, like, I'm sad.
Yeah, and so what do you do with that, you know, other than validate?
Yeah, that's okay, Haley, you know, tomorrow. We'll go back to the pool, you know, tomorrow. We'll get some more time.
Yeah.
Okay. And then she just forgets about it and then goes on to the next thing.
Absolutely.
But it's just, you know, that experience, and it's something that, you know, for people who don't have kids, is so alien. And I was that too. It was so...
You remember being a single person?
Yeah, and it just... having, you know, just going over, like you said, in the restaurant. You know, I'm trying to eat a meal, you know, with my boy. Back then, it was my boyfriend or my fiancé. Before we were married. And, you know, just comfortable. And you have kids sitting next to you, just crying, running around. And just throwing
food.
Exactly. Food flying around. And I'm like, oh, my God, can't they control the kids? Oh, my God, those kids are wild. It's a whole different... Your life changes.
You become a little bit more sensitive.
Yes, I'm like, and you can't. You know, I wish I could control my kids, but I can't. Sorry, they have a mind of their own. And that's, you know, just... Sorry.
Mm. And speaking of control, you know, children who are constantly controlled by their parents, every move, every action, scripting out their, you know, language... Those children actually are poorly regulated in terms of whether it's emotion or behavior. So when they get out without their parents, they're not quite sure how to behave.
Mm-hmm.
Or when they're with their parents, they're totally misbehaved because they're looking for their parents to guide every action and every word. And so what we want to do is kind of let the child do and explore and be without us intervening too much.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then we, rather than tell them what they should not be doing, we guide them into what they should be doing. So what I tell people when they come into my evaluations with their child, I say, well, you know, I've got three chairs there. If I told you don't sit down, you know, don't sit in that chair, don't sit in that chair, don't sit in mm-hmm. that chair. Pretty soon you're going to say, well, where can I mm-hmm. sit? And you're just going to stand and you're going to feel kind of awkward. So imagine your child, you constantly say, don't do that, don't do mm-hmm. that, don't do that. They're going to be at that point, get to that point where they're feeling awkward. And they won't know how to self-regulate.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even regulate their eye movement.
Wow.
And so what we want to do is tell parents, you know, at the Family Treehouse, this is our philosophy, and it could be different, obviously, for other families and other professionals. But what we want to do is let go of that control and be more of a teacher. Mm-hmm. Because if I were to ask you, Mary, what is your discipline? And say you're a single person, have no kids, right? What is the context of that question? What is your discipline, Mary? And what would you respond?
If I was a single, everything is, my discipline is all control. I mean, I was the type of person that everything was in it's in its place. Everything is, you know, color coordinated. I knew exactly where everything was. My house is always, you know, organized. But once you have a child,
it goes out the window.
It goes out the window. You know, I just. You know, everything had to be in its own place, and now it's like toys are everywhere. But, you know, you tell them, you know what, you need to pick up your toys, you know, and you have those little stars are great, the short, you know, they love to see those stars, you know, and picks up her toys, you know, picks up, you know, everything, just cleans up her clothes, you know, her room, everything, and it's, but it's
but it
not,
wasn't
I mean,
always like
it
that, though.
It was not like that. I mean, you had to. I mean, it was always, you know, everything was in order. It like now, no. It just no. Like, you know, yesterday, at lunch, and then after work, I got home and there was dishes and food everywhere. All her play stuff was in the dining room table because she was playing food. And then when it was time for us to eat, everything was picked up.
Right.
She picked up everything. She put it in, which I learned, great, those bins, plastic bins.
Yes, absolutely.
I have that.
We love those.
I love those, too. I have those bins at my house, and they're labeled. And she put everything back. And, you know, she knows that she can only take one at a time. You
they
know,
learned that at the treehouse.
I learned that. You taught me that, okay? Parents also learn, and I also learned, you know, those are...
Yeah, and when it becomes routine and it's consistent, then you don't have any problems.
Yeah, it's not really control anymore. It's just, you know, it's you have the option. You can play with this, you can play with that, but, you know, you need to pick it up and get something else.
And you're teaching her.
Yeah.
And that's what we want parents to understand. And for every culture, it's very different. You know, Korean families, Japanese families, Indian families, Native American families, Canadian families, and even the culture here in California. I mean, you go to San Diego, and there's different families than there are mm-hmm. here in Imperial Valley. And so what we try to do rather than change the entire family is just to really help that family with that level of stress. Because when parents get stressed out,
yeah.
they don't treat their children as well as they should. And
that's when it happens. Bad things can happen.
Bad things can happen. And, you know, and sometimes, too, as parents, are when they're overwhelmed, they don't keep as good an eye on their child. And that's when accidents happen. And, you know, a baby this week drowned in a 5-inch bucket of water. You know, the bucket was filled with 5 inches of water, and a baby 1 year old just kind of tipped over and drowned. And so, you know, here you have to think, you know, I can understand how that can happen. At being a mom, I have 2 children, 9 years apart, and I can understand how that can mm-hmm. happen. For 1 minute, you can doze off just from sheer exhaustion, especially for a one-year-old who's still probably getting up in the middle of the night. How do those things happen? And, you know, some people might think that's unforgivable, but at the Family Treehouse, what we try to be is understanding, and, mm-hmm. and let's try to... If you're so exhausted trying to get those dishes done every day and the laundry done every day and the car washed every week and the lawn mowed every
yeah.
week and take care of your kid and cook for your husband, you know, something has to give. You can't do everything all the time.
And it was hard for me to do that. It was so hard for me because, like I mentioned before, everything was so
organized.
And it was so hard for me to do both things. But, you know.
It's with practice. It takes time.
Now that I look back at it, when they're babies, it's so much easier.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It's so much easier now that they're, you know, they're 4 or 5, you know, toddlers, and they, you know, they always want you to do, play with them and be with them. And
they can tell you
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you can tell me. You always, mom this, mom, 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 mom. And when they were babies, they were just, you know. But no.
Exactly.
I'll stay with Winoni.
Yeah, you know, we're starting to see smaller families now, and I think people are recognizing that, you know, for the safety and well-being of everyone in the family, even the relationship between husband and wife, mm-hmm. it becomes truly strained with, you know, and it's directly proportional to stress to the amount of children you have. Because, I mean, really, as, you know, as a woman, we have kind of 3 roles.
Yeah.
You know, we are a woman to ourselves, we are a wife to our husband, and a mother to our children. And to orchestrate the daily activities and to manage a family, it's very difficult. And hopefully I'm speaking also to dads out there, because we have a lot of stay-at-home dads.
And I see a lot of them now. I've been seeing a lot yeah. more dads going.
Absolutely.
On the Fridays that I go and my days off, I go to the treehouse and, you know, I'm seeing more dads.
Yeah, and dads are taking off after, you know, the baby comes home from the hospital, say a second or third baby. Daddies are coming in with their older children. And, you know, and allowing mom to really transition into her new role as not just a mother of one now, but a mother of 2.
Mm-hmm.
And dads are taking off work, and I'm glad to see that the Family Leave Act is being used. Employers might not like that, but, you know, when it comes to family, really, what else is there? That's what's going to save, I think, our society in the future. You have children who are really growing up in some respects without parents or without the love they need. And we really need to look at, okay, the parent and what kind of love did they get? Because if as a parent you didn't get that love, you're not going to be able to transcend that love and take that into your new family. And so at the Family Treehouse, we see all kinds of families, very functional families, some not so functional, but we're not there to judge. We're there just to help them along and to help their children. So,
well, Rosie, thank you so much for coming. But you know what? We forgot contact number.
Oh,
at the treehouse.
Yes.
But and they can access it through the web, on Facebook, but whatever
yeah.
also.
Yeah, if you just Google us, Family Treehouse, sometimes you don't even have to put Imperial. Just mm-hmm. Google us. We are on the Internet. We have several pages on our website. We have Facebook at the Family Treehouse. We are in Imperial, again, centrally located
yes.
for the entire Imperial County.
Recently repainted the building. Really nice.
Yes, we went rainbow on that.
Yeah.
Rainbow sherbet on that one. And now the kids are calling us the puzzle house.
Yeah, the puzzle, the big pieces of puzzle. Right? Yeah. That's cool.
Yes. Artwork by a gentleman who helped us along with that. We are in Imperial, and our phone number is 760-355-0175. That's 355-0175. But if you're just driving through Imperial, you'll see us right off the freeway. Can't miss us. Rainbow-colored building, and for the children. And we want it to be nice and appealing. And sometimes in the winter and the not-so-hot days, we'll have our train out there.
Yes, it's going to be. I'm looking forward to, you know, the wintertime.
Yeah.
Comes. So
yes, and
hopefully we can go there.
Absolutely. So everyone is welcome. Again, if you have a child under the age of 6 who hasn't gone to first grade yet, come on by or give us a call. We'll set up an appointment for you. We'll take the time to explain our entire program to you. But if you just need a screening and you're not sure if your child's developing properly or normally,
call us.
Yes, it's totally free. Car seat inspections, even though I know it's really hot, but families are going on vacation right now. Make sure that car seat's in properly.
Yeah.
We did a couple of car seat inspections yesterday, and we're really pleased to be able to be here to serve the community in Imperial Valley. Rocks!
Yes, and you are. Personally, you've helped me so much with my child and with my family. I mean, my mom, even my husband. I go to the treehouse. He enjoys the treehouse too. He enjoys that my daughter goes there. You know, his work prevents it from. You know, he's been there a couple of times. Just stop by. But, you know, for my mom, for me, and for my daughter, we're so grateful. We are so grateful.
Well, thank you. We're very happy to be able to have Haley in our family, mm-hmm. And your family. The Wyatt family has been a treasure for us and been very supportive of the Family Treehouse.
Yeah.
And, again, you know, we're very thankful to be sponsored by the United Way. The gas company's given us some donations. Walmart has been a true partner for us. We're very grateful. And then for this show, you know, this is a wonderful resource for families. And we're all about maternal and child health and really promoting that in Imperial County. And the Imperial County Children and Families First Commission can't do it without them. Very
true.
Grateful for them.
Kudos to them.
Kudos. So the whole community, it does take a village to raise a child, and we are a testament to that.
Yes. Well, thank you, Rosie. Thank you so much for coming. And you need to come back again.
It was a pleasure.
We'll do a different segment, again, promote the Family Treehouse and then more.
Maybe some of our listeners can give us some ideas on what they'd like to hear in terms of early child development.
And we'll ask also the moms over there, parents at the treehouse.
That's right. It was a pleasure.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you, listeners. And have a good weekend. Be a good and safe weekend.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.